talking about marriage and parenting issues on the field. We have, while students are down at Radius, we have two twin courses that run pretty much throughout the whole year. One is called High Stress Marrying. The other is High Stress Parenting, because most of the marriage books, most of the parenting books and ideas that are circulating in Christian circles do not take into account the very difficult living circumstances that the missionaries are going to be living in. For my wife and I, my wife's right there, our children, our three older children, were away from us 24 years altogether in boarding schools. Okay, you better know how to win your wife or husband and keep your kids on the team with you, okay, to endure such things. Hostage taking, separations, lack of family, nuclear family overseas. You don't have coaches. You don't have all these support structures. You don't have youth pastors that are there. They're dedicated to getting to know your kid. And so it really behooves parents to have their head on a swivel and really know the spiritual temperature of their children. It is right now the number one reason that missionaries are leaving the field, the inability to parent their children well. When they're younger, not so much of a difficulty, but if you haven't continued to win them to the task and really made it clear why we're doing this, why we're enduring the sacrifices, why you're not getting to play high school football, why you're not getting to do so many other things, if you don't make that clear as a parent and you just assume they're on the team, and we see children go belly up at times, and even wives who made a one-time commitment and the husband hasn't been diligent to continue to win his wife's heart to this thing. Husbands really need to have their act together to keep the families on the field. while we were there, I was on the board of the boarding school. I would go up there three times a year to take the pulse of those people who were interacting with my kids. I wasn't just going to delegate and walk away. For 7 years, I was on the disciplinary committee of the boarding school. It was a very large, we had over 200 kids in the boarding school, and dealing with good missionaries who were not doing well in the parenting area. They weren't in a stateside situation, that would not have been an issue. And so we feel at Radius we really have to prepare people a lot for the high-stress marriage, and where your wife is very commonly a target, and your kids are targets, and living life well in that situation, and the high-stress parenting situation. So that we're going to talk about having proper expectations. And one of the things that we're trying to do as students come to us, these are mostly young families or singles, is to get them ready for what they're going to be getting into. This is a critical passage that we walk slowly through a few different times while students are down there. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And of course, Jesus isn't talking about actual hatred. We know that. And how many times just in the chapter of John 6:13, they're going to know you're my followers by your love one for another. But to have that so clear in our mind that family is not first. My allegiance, my commitment to the Lord Jesus is first. And I have to take my family seriously. That's a big part of my responsibility as a husband and as a father. But if I'm confused on that, this is not going to work out, because the very life that the Lord has led us into is by nature taking my wife and my children into a dangerous situation. And we have to accept that and do all that we can to mitigate that. We don't go in blindly. But at the end of the day, it's not about them thriving. We talk about that a lot. We'll get into that more and more. Again, this whole issue here that Jesus speaks of, actually when the Ten Commandments were first being written, the very first time, if I was going to lay out the Ten Commandments, and don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, steal, don't all those things human to human, but God is not me. The first thing that God wanted to be clear, you shall have no other gods before me. And for missionaries that aren't clear on that, my first commitment is to my God, and after that I have many responsibilities. If you're confused on that, eventually the lifestyle that you're going into is going to find that out about you. We talk a lot about winning our spouses to this task, winning our kids. How do we do that? We don't have time today. But being a fully developed father, okay, a fully developed parent, okay, taking into account what your kids are going through, knowing their lives, asking lots of questions when they're at the boarding school and when they're home. And when my kids came home, I set aside the translation work. We had two primary tasks. We were church planters and Bible translators, okay? I cannot set aside working with the church. Man, these are human beings. But I could set aside working with the translation while my kids were home so I could get fully involved with that. We did not delegate to the organization that we were in to raise our kids spiritually. That's my job. If my kids aren't walking with the Lord, if they're not at an age-appropriate level having a walk with the Lord Jesus, then we would keep our kids home from the boarding school. We did not make a decision once a year to send them, and then they're just gone. Okay, every time they came home, which was four times a year, now we took their pulse. Can they go back? Are they in a place to go back? And so we didn't wash our hands in any way of that. Yeah, proper expectations are critical for our kids as parents. Man, we cannot be caught in this conundrum of I want to raise well-rounded Christian kids. Yeah, I do. I think my kids are well-rounded, but I want to raise godly kids more than well-rounded. And sometimes those two things collide. I want my kids to have a heart for the Lord Jesus, and I can say that I believe they do. Proper expectations in our marriage. What are we expecting out of marriage? I appreciate so much Francis Chan, and you can think what you want about him. He wrote a book called You and Me Forever. And for missionary candidates, that's probably the best book written because the title of that book, he actually wanted to call it Marriage Ain't So Great. Because he too saw this infatuation with marriage. We just want to squeeze every drop of satisfaction out of our marriage that we can. And it's made us really selfish at times within our marriages. Man, I want to do marriage well. But I want to walk with the Lord Jesus more than that, okay? And again, bringing my wife into a difficult situation and winning her to that, to where she could be set free to be a godly mother to my kids and a missionary that taught the Itetti people how to read and write. She did medical work 365 days a year for 20 years out there in the middle of the jungle. Man, because her heart was in that, she saw her part in, moving the kingdom forward there. Proper expectations in our parenting, critical in this, that we know what we're getting into. And that's one of the big things that we take seriously at Radius. Now, we do not want our students blindsided when they get to the field. They know it's going to be hard. They know the suffering that they go through. Their kids are going to get some of it, too. It's just part of it. We talk a lot of that jokingly, but not so much. We live in an age that has wonderful songs about thriving. Yeah, and I love the song. I remember being at a concert, singing the song, standing up and waving my hands back and forth. But we're actually teaching our kids. What we're seeing more in Scripture is teaching you to endure. Can you endure hardship? Like Paul said to Timothy, endure hardship of the good soldier of Jesus Christ. Get your eyes properly calibrated. This is maybe not in the rest of the church across the planet, but where you're going, you better understand the difference between thriving and enduring, because you're going to be enduring a lot more than you're thriving. And when the good days come, the good seasons come, smell the roses. Enjoy them. Just don't have expectations that demand that, or something's wrong. That's not the case. Moving on here. Yeah, one of the things, another in this area. Now, we're concerned about, will your parenting style allow you to stay on the field? Saw too many great missionaries taken off the field by kids that were in high school. Their heart just wasn't in it anymore. And you can handle that when Johnny's 5 or 6 or 7 or a younger age. But as your kids get into the high school years, if they're not seeing the purpose behind what you're doing, if you haven't made that clear to them and taught them from the Scriptures, man, it's just going to backfire on you. This doesn't make it. I remember when I was Papua New Guinea serving, we would see people going home for a variety of reasons, and it was always pretty much sad. Sometimes there were good reasons. But the difference is in the letters. Sometimes the prayer letters would make it out to us in the beginning, and we'd read what they were telling supporters about, here's why we left the field, and we knew differently. Again, this issue of parenting. Dear, dear friends, we love them dearly, many of these folks, that were not able to finish. They got close to finishing, and it's so critical that you take the time needed to see that church come to a point of maturity. Brooke was giving his time frames this morning. For my wife and I, we lived among the Itetti people for 7 years before we saw the first people come to faith in Christ. And we breathed the big sigh of relief. Oh, man, we're almost there. It would take another 13 years to live among them to see these individualistic, nomadic jungle people become the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, man, expectations, they need to be realistic as far as how long is this going to take. We're pretty careful as we look at applications. If somebody indicates that they're thinking 5, 10 years, we're probably not the place to come to. What we encourage people, take your watch off, take your calendar down, you're done when you're done. When there's a healthy church, that's when you're done, with the translation done in the language. And so we want to see these missionary couples and singles equipped to be able to understand what they're getting into and to go the distance as best as possible. And we all know that God takes people off the field. Not everything is a loss due to people caving in. I don't want to imply that. But too often, there are foreseeable issues. And again, as we get to know our candidates down at Radius, we ask them the very first month that they're there, what do you see taking you off the field? And sometimes they're pretty self-aware, and that saves us time. Sometimes we have to get to know for a few months before. This is not going to annihilate you here in the North American context, but where you're going, this little crack in your walk with the Lord or in your character, in your parenting, in your marriage, it will get wider and wider until at a very critical point. And the reason I say critical point, the longer you're on the field, the more valuable you are in your ministry. And to be taken off the field after 13 years because of something that was foreseeable, just a huge loss. Another reason why we're talking about parenting. And these are young families. It's part of us doing our job as trainers. And we take that very, very seriously. Initially, we can't say this with much integrity, but we do grow to love these guys. We live vicariously through them. We now have over 300 Radius grads, and well over half of them are on the field. And to see the hurdles that they're overcoming, it is a joy. And to see the things that are jumping up and smacking them, man, our hearts break with them. But so we want to do everything that we can as a staff, and I know you guys representing your churches want to do the same thing. We care about their kids' survival, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Man, if our kids, if my voice as a dad cannot stop my children, and we have three sons and one daughter, if by 2 years old they can't tell the tone of my voice and the tone of my voice doesn't stop them in the tracks, it can mean the difference between life and death, between being taken hostage, captured, bitten by a snake, eaten by a pig, a variety of things in our world. And every situation is different, of course. But to be able to have kids that are obedient, they know how to be shut down with the tone of mom or dad's voice. We care about their kids as Christ followers. Man, we want to see people sometimes that they themselves are within their marriage when they have a vibrant walk with the Lord, but the antenna doesn't go around. They don't see maybe their kids' world real clearly. And then to help them get that antenna spinning to where they can relate. And some parents have a hard time relating to their kids when they're 2 and 5 and 6. And for dad to teach the kids the word is a primary issue there, and the fathers that delegate that responsibility of teaching the word to somebody else, probably that's going to jump up and bite you. Again, when our kids came home from the boarding school, every lunchtime, we would have family devotions. And I remember, especially when my two sons, you met one, one's represented here too, as my boys are getting into high school years, they're like, Dad, I could not afford to wait for a good time to bring it up. I had to be ahead of the game. And man, that just became a regular part. And I had to do my job to make it interesting to my kids. I just don't get out a book and read a book to them, okay, not at that age. We care about the children of our trainees down there as Christ followers. And Beth and I were dorm parents two different stints while we were in New Guinea. We came out when our church was in a place that we could leave them for a few months. And to be honest with you, man, one of the heartbreaking things, the majority of those kids that we were dorm parents to, they're not walking with the Lord today. And the antennas just weren't spinning. Missionaries that mail in this issue of parenting, their kids' spiritual walk with the Lord. And so, man, we're doing what we can so that these guys who are, and mostly these are young families, most, I'd say half don't even have children, half do have children. We typically have between 20 and 25 student children on campus down at Radius. And we want to see these kids go in the distance in their own walk with the Lord. So that's another reason why we put time into this. We care about their kids enhancing the gospel ministry. One of the things that was a joy for Beth and I to see in the latter years of our ministry. And latter years of ministry, it took us 20 years because it took us 20 years. If we could have gotten it done in 19 years, we would have gotten it done in 19 years. The jungle's not a fun place to live. It sucks. It's horrible. We didn't grow in love with the jungle, but it just took. That's what it took. But one of the things that was wonderful to see is as our kids, our three older kids came back from the boarding school, Brooks and Brandon being able to go out and hunt with the E-Teddies and be with the E-Teddies, and they could speak E-Teddy. And then they enhanced the gospel. And then when you have your own children enhancing the gospel, man, your efforts are just multiplied many times over. We tell students a lot that Beth and I felt like our 16th year of ministry among the Teddies was more beneficial than the first 15 put together. And the way they see you, the way they watch you grow old, the way they watch you parent, the way they watch you as husband and wife, fighting even, standing outside of our window, listening to Beth and I yell at each other, and then make up, you know, and they would take sides. Of course, they always took my wife's side, which was totally wrong. You are affected by the parenting around you. Having clear biblical expectations is critical. It's just critical. And so we lay out those expectations real clearly. Our children are not innocent, okay? And people that come down to Radius are typically pretty mature spiritually. They understand that, and when Adam fell and Eve fell, that sin nature was passed on. But some of them are first-time parents, and have a variety of backgrounds. And, of course, we live in a more and more permissive culture where discipline, corporal punishment, is less and less talked about. It's less and less appreciated. Now we must train our kids. And if we are not training our kids, eventually it's going to jump up and bite us. And I'll tell you, it's a joy now to be a dad, and all my kids are married and they have kids and grandkids. And then just the joy of having a relationship with our older kids who love the Lord and are walking with the Lord. But you can't want that when they're 2 years old. You got to discipline. And I think every young family, they wonder, am I disciplining too much? Will I ruin my relationship with them? And to get them through that as young parents, guys, they'll survive. They'll survive. We'll go into the scriptures. Having age-appropriate expectations for our kids is so important. Again, as we mentioned earlier, where they're going is mostly uncharted waters for the people writing books on parenting. I remember our organization, when Beth and I were in New Guinea, they had at their main base here in America a family, a guy who spoke on the family. He did quite well. I'm sure he was a wonderful person to listen to. And they were very taken with him. And so they asked him to go around and talk to the different fields that our organization worked with. And so he came down to our part of the CPIC where all of us had our kids in boarding schools. And he talked one day on making sure you attend the kids' games. Another day on tucking your kids in certain topics. And it just went through a variety of good topics. But it didn't apply to us. And finally, some of us came to him and said, "Brother, do you know where our children are at? Do you know what they're going through?" He says, "I know. I don't know what to say to you guys." And I appreciated his honesty. He was in uncharted territories. And you are too. And so the parenting seminars and marriage seminars that you would have the joy of attending when you're here in North America, you know, wiring geared for North American life, they're not going to apply too much to where graduates of Radius are going. I remember one family in the States, when Beth and I got back to the field, there was a series of 5 days that were given to, and it was a very famous radio voice, and he spoke for 5 days on the dangers of boarding school. The dangers of boarding school. Our kids are in the middle of being in boarding school. Your kids will be radioactive. Your kids are going to be ticking bombs emotionally. Eventually, they'll blow up. They'll become serial killers, whatever. And my wife and I, we sat down and listened to them. We actually heard it live when we were in the States, and we listened to it again. And to be honest with you, I was pretty disappointed. And I wrote to the brother and sent a letter to Colorado Springs and said, "Come on out here. Sit down with my kids. Talk to him. Maybe I'm missing something. I think you're overstating things." And it took a long time back in the day to get a letter from the jungles of New Guinea to Colorado Springs and back. But about 3 months later, we got a letter back from one of his associates. And said, "I'm sorry, of course he's not going to be able to come out there. But you need to understand, our brother has a past too. And his dad was a traveling evangelist. And didn't cover some bases real well with him. And so it's a very raw topic." So much of what is written about, said, and talked about with boarding schools. And we don't encourage boarding schools. That's less and less a need. And if you don't need to do it, don't do it, okay? Homeschooling curriculum has gotten dramatically better, and that's a great option for many people. But there are still certain situations. And so we encourage students at Radius, don't draw a line in the sand in any area. "I'll do anything but put my kids in the boarding school." No, 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 no. "I'll do anything but go to Chad. It's really, really hot in Chad. I'll do anything but go to a Muslim country. I'll do anything." Don't come down as a student. "I want to be a Bible translator." I had a discussion today with an individual like that. We probably Bible translation. I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but Bible translation is fascinating. Okay, I got to do it. I loved it. And unlike church planning is heartbreaking. It's 10 steps forward, 9 steps backwards. You're working with people. Okay, Bible translation, man, you can chart your progress. I got 4 chapters I could do today. I did 2 rough drafts. It's very fulfilling. You can measure it. Okay. But what we're trying to encourage is, I'll do anything I can do to be a part of this team, seeing the church and translation done. And if I'm the lead translator, great. If I'm a co-translator, great. If I'm a Bible teacher, great. If wherever I fit in best, man, come in there with that type of an attitude. Separations, hostage taking. My wife and I and our kids got evacuated out of that part of New Guinea twice in the years that we were there. Rebels coming across the border, taking especially North Americans as a prize target for bartering. Relocations, all that. The amount of times we moved. Your family has got to be really, really strong. And there's a lot of things that can be talked about to make it to that level. Our kids get sexualized more quickly. The tribal group that we worked with practiced rape, infant rape. Okay, and by the time when the girl became about 8 years old, she was public property. She was raped at will while she was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. When she got to be about 13, she was taken off. Somebody took pity on her, took her off to be a wife. And so your kids are going to get sexualized more quickly than you desire. You've got to be ahead of that situation there. And again, these are the people we're here to reach. We don't hate them because of what they do. But it's definitely not stuff that we're going to be doing as Christ followers. Okay, first issue, do parents have a positive, age-appropriate relationship with their child? And we have to make sure that that's the case, because we had a case with a family that came down and got trained this last year. They had 5 kids. The oldest one was 17 years old. And so to start into corporal punishment at that point in time would be unwise. Okay, and so meant to have an age-appropriate relationship to where the child knows that dad loves him. Dad's playing with him. Dad's there. We don't want to have the distant, cold dad. And some dads come from homes where that might be the case, or things weren't great in their own home. We don't want to have Disneyland dad. Oh, you're going to live in such a hard life. Where you're going is going to be so hard, and you're taking pity on your child, and he hasn't even endured anything yet. Okay, you're trying to find that balance in the parenting style. All that we teach on parenting, and we do a lot of teaching on parenting, again, because it takes people off the field. It's based off of the premise that your child knows, I'm here for you, you are safe with me, I know you, I love you, I care about you, I'm committed to you, I will protect you from your tendencies, even when you do not agree with me. If that isn't solidly in place, whether the kid's old enough to articulate it, probably not. But that's true. They know that mom and dad are there, and especially that dad is very much in the middle of this thing. What is our goal as parents? And again, this is a quote from Francis Chan's book. Even now, I'm working to make sure that my family is set up for the future. When most people make that statement, they're talking about financial security. People accuse me of going overboard and preparing for my first 10 million years in eternity. In my opinion, people go overboard and worrying about their last 10 years on earth. And just, Brooks was mentioning this, man, having eternal eyes and fixated on eternity, even for my kids, and I must raise them now in the time and moment that they're living in, but I'm training them too to lift their eyes up. This is a long-term thing, and to be discipling our kids in these ways with these values from the beginning. One of the things I like about the book, as I mentioned, he wanted to title it Marriage Ain't So Great, because he was seeing this infatuation with marriage. And another brother that I've appreciated much, I won't say his name, he coined the term. He was part of founding Radius. He liked to use the term, learn to think of it as a strategic alliance. Now, that sounds a little cold, but I like the way it's pushing back on our looking at each other's eyes, that walking down the beach with our hands held. And if we can't do that once a week, oh, our marriage is really struggling. We didn't have a date night this month. What are we going to do? Where these guys are going, there aren't going to be date nights. We would be 6 months at a time in the jungle, and then come out for 2 weeks so that the field leadership could make sure that we weren't losing our mind. And we had Etedis in the house with us almost 24/7 every single day of the year. They're in our house, and you are looked at, and the pressure and the privacy and your need for space, get over it. Get over it. You're a public person now, and I appreciate the training that we went through. But again, a strategic alliance to begin to think we are gospel workers. We love each other. We've got these wonderful kids. There's a lot of other attributes, but we are entrusted with the gospel, and we take that very seriously. And we've actually built our life around it. And anything less than an attitude like that, your missionaries won't last overseas. Because the stress is, especially if they're going into a front line, and I appreciate, man, Kevin talking about the difference. What we are about as a church is making the gospel known to every tongue, tribe, and nation. That's our church's job, to see that accomplished. And if our workers aren't prepared for the lack of privacy, for the loneliness, for the uncomfortableness, the climate and diseases, they're just not going to last very long. God's word to our children. And so, again, with that premise in place that my child knows he's loved, man, God's word to our children, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God has given to you. Parents need to be solidly committed. Honoring them is beyond the range of a two-year-old. Obeying them is very much in the range of a two-year-old. They will grow in their ability to honor, but we need to go beyond teaching them to obey. At some point, they move as their understanding allows into honoring. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the land. I'm surprised, as has been mentioned, everybody that comes down to Radius has a college degree. They're pretty sharp people. But our culture has been inundated with timeouts, trying to reason with a two-year-old. And there's a time to reason with your child as they get older. But if they haven't learned, again, to stop on a dime at the sound of your voice, you might have missed, probably not, but you might have missed the window of opportunity to raise obedient children. Can that be implemented later on? Jury's out, depending on the will of the child. The children are all different. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And again, your children are probably going to be able to memorize this when they're 2 years old, but you as parents need to understand this is critical to your child having the best chance of growing into a serious Christ follower and being able to win them to this very difficult task that's ahead of you. Hebrews, I find this passage just fascinating. The primary topic is not parent-child relationships, but he's using the parent-child relationship and what happens in the context of that relationship to enforce some things in regards to how God deals with you and I. Verse 7 and 8, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? The writer is speaking rhetorically. It's such an understanding. Any real son gets disciplined. And in the next passage, it's painful discipline. Okay, that is at the, I don't want to say the center, but that is one of the defining factors that you're really my son, you're really my daughter, you're really my child, is I discipline you. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. I discipline my sons. I'm talking like I'm some Marine Corps officer up here. Yeah, I wish you could see my four kids and Beth and I together. It's so joyous. It really is. But there were times we felt like we were losing our mind. I think like most young parents, will you ever have a relationship? They just kept doing this again and again. And to see the exasperation on the faces of our students down there as they begin to implement corporal punishment for their kids as needed, okay, will they ever learn this stuff? They will. They will. God's word is true. And if they're your real children, love them. Our fathers disciplined us for a while as they thought best. Don't you like the wording of that? Do you know that's what that speaks of? They disciplined us imperfectly. They didn't have all the facts perfectly straight. Sometimes they got it wrong. Now, we would never knowingly discipline our children in a wrong way, okay, or based off of wrong information. But the fact is, people that wait and wait and wait and wait and wait too long for the perfect time, the perfect situation, when they have all the information, timing of discipline is important. Okay, and sometimes we miss out on the prime opportunity because we're too concerned with getting it perfect. And the writer of Hebrews, he takes that into account. Our fathers disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. And I love that he put this in here. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. There it is. Okay, so again, we want to deal with their minds and their souls, okay, as they get older and more developed in those abilities. But initially, God gave the perfect place for that discipline to take place. And we had one of our sons that had learning disabilities. And he just, I forgot. And when the corporal punishment was more consistent, it was amazing how his memory improved. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It is one of the joys that we get to see as people come down. Most of the kids are not babies. The range would be probably 3 to 8 years old. And to see great families that have come down, they have this area well under control. And just for your awareness, we talk about this in the very first week. And the reason we do it is because we don't want to know your parenting style. I don't want to be seen as picking on somebody because that family doesn't parent well. And so we get this out of the way before we know anybody's parenting style. But in time we realize they really need to tighten up. And when students come down to us, they're put into a community group. And so Beth and I, last year, we had 9 people in our community group. Every person on staff has about 8 or 9. This year will be 10. In our community group, and that's one of our things, is the parenting has to be in a good situation, and if it's not, we need to get involved with that. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, and the blessing of seeing kids that have not been under control come under control. Man, just, it is really fun and exciting to see. He who spares the rod, again, this is Proverbs, old school, but it is the Word of God, and it hasn't gone out of date. He hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And again, had 3 very active boys, like to push, like to fight. When Brooks and Brandon were younger, the Teddies were very disapproving of our corporal punishment. They would stand outside our house and yell at us, and so we had to have them come in and witness us disciplining them. We weren't berserk with rage. We were spanking them with a stick on the butt, and then we'd hug them and snuggle them and dry them up. Our daughters are different. I had to have a counseling session after each corporal punishment. You just got to do more talking. They're a little more complex. But the Teddies, nonetheless, they hated seeing us spank our kids. And there were a couple of specific times where Brooks and Brandon would be outside the house, and I heard them fighting. And I didn't have time. Okay, now I get out the house, and all of a sudden, our boys are gone. They're just gone. And asking the Teddies, where'd they go? Oh, we don't know. And they had kidnapped our sons and taken them to the village until we cooled down so that they didn't have to hear us spanking our children. One time Beth came out of the house with the spanking stick, and one of the little old ladies in the tribe, she grabbed the stick and ran away. You're living in public in many of these situations. It's just a different world. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. And to see this in God's Word, in the Old Testament, as you've seen in Proverbs, and to see the same factor going forward into the book of Hebrews, it's not much about in the Gospels. But this is one way, not the only way, but one way we love our kids and prepare them for a life that doesn't revolve around them and a life that's hard in many, many ways. The rod of correction imparts wisdom and a better memory, as I mentioned earlier, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your soul. We've all been around families. They don't discipline their kids. They have no control over their kids. And there is no delight to the soul. It's been a difficult time when you're at the house, when you're out for dinner, or just having a fun event. When you are in the presence of kids that are not under control of mom and dad, we've all seen it. Sometimes parents who have those children, they don't want to be out in public very much. But that can be addressed. And we can win those wars. And as parents, it is our job to do that. Particulars of discipline. Just some timeliness is critical, as we mentioned earlier. Perfection is rare. Man, understand that. Other reinforcing factors. Unity of body language. We had dear friends on the field. And their daughter would, you know, burn a cat alive, and or something equally heinous. And I saw the dad. Now, honey, that was a very bad thing that he did. And his body language didn't be portrayed back. That was horrific what he did. Our body language matters. We're not out of control. But, man, there's an intensity that backs up the fact that you're going to pay the price tag of burning little tabby alive, okay? Dad's role when in the vicinity. Yep, there are many times when dad can't be there. Okay, and mom better be ready. Okay, but when dad is in the vicinity, he should be the primary giver of the discipline. The rod, okay, critical component. First, you know, then your hand when they're small, but man, this is not an experience that puts pain to the parent. The pain is to be to the child, okay? So get the rod out, and bigger the better, or bigger is necessary. When you get older boys, you got to get through to them. Pain doesn't equal death. We've seen that in Proverbs. We need to know that. The rear end, that's one thing the Teddies couldn't believe, is that we always hit the rear end. Because when they discipline their kids, which they only did when they were berserk with rage, they take a stick, break it on their head, burn it with a hot stick, take an arm, break it. Because we don't do that to our children. Well, they didn't until they went crazy with rage at the embarrassment and the pain that the child was bringing into the vicinity. Affirmation, clearing the air. Okay, this is just common sense, I know, for the majority of you here. Until what age? There are differences in our kids. Okay. And depends on the hardness of the brain, the hardness of the heart. It depends on a lot of factors. And as a dad, I fought dirty. I won't get into all that. But, we're playing for keeps. Man, for my kids who grew up in the situations that they did and come out with not just a walk with the Lord, but a maturity and an understanding and to where they backed up the gospel. We had to be fully invested as parents and fully invested in our ministry, and it can be done. It has to be done. Separation ideas. When our kids had to go to the boarding school, prepare beforehand. Men, do not count anything out of the possible. Dad could get taken hostage. Mom could die early in some of the places you're going to. Boarding school might be not just the best, but the safest spot for your children. And we know situations say don't do the boarding school because of the education factors. They could do the homeschooling, but because daughters that are being raised in some locations are targets in tribal situations in many parts of the world, and it's just, man, you need to factor that in. The emotionally impossible might be what's needed. Don't count anything out. Okay. Careful of the guilties. One of the factors that we saw parents losing kids, and when I was sitting on the disciplinary committee, is I knew that there was one of them, typically it's the mom, felt so guilty about their kid being in a boarding school that when they came home, it was just 2.5 weeks of bliss and candy and pizza and Coke and no work. And if dad didn't cave into that, if dad caved into that and allowed it to be 2 weeks of mommy guilty spread over the kids, then the kids would take that and leverage it, okay? And that's the mentality they grew up with. Man, we saw those kids go sideways. They really did. This is what God has for us. This is what God has for us. And I've sat down with counselors from some of the major agencies. It wasn't the situation the kid was raised in, how hard it was, the rebels, family members lost. It was how mom and dad did with that. Were they able to frame it and to put it to the kids in a biblically driven way? This is what God has for us. We're not the unfortunate recipients of the backhand of God's means. No, this is what God has for us. And so parents, man, getting a grip on that, we put a lot of time into that at Radius. As possible, they leave you. Do not leave them. It was a lot easier when that airplane came in and landed on our airstrip, and our three little guys got on the airplane. It was breaking Beth and I's heart, and they fly off and leave us. It was a lot easier for them because they're going off to the big city where the boarding school is and all their friends and stuff like that. But for us to go up and visit the boarding school and to get on a bus or a van and drive away as our kids are staying there waving goodbye to us, these are just mechanistic things, but you put them all together, it's helpful. Talk to your kids. Teach communication. Your minutes may be through. Our first years on the field, when our kids went to boarding school, they could talk to us 3 minutes a week on the two-way radio. That was it. And we observed families that hadn't taught their kids to communicate. And, Johnny, how you doing? Okay. What happened this week? Nothing. So we had to fight dirty with that. We took our kids' allowances away that they didn't communicate with us, okay? And so then they began to communicate. We get full sentence replies, you know, and even got more. And we don't care who's listening, because a lot of times people that are bored in the jungle, they will listen in on your communication. They get all kinds of news about what's going on at the boarding school. Forget about anybody listening. We want to know what your math teacher's like, what your science teacher's like, you know, how you're doing with the dorm parents. And, you know, we had so-so dorm parents. That was hard. We had great dorm parents. We're thankful for every one of those dorm parents, even the so-so ones. Don't wimp out on them or just go along with things that the mission may be in the habit of doing. Man, if something is amiss at that boarding school when your kids are away from you, get involved. Get involved. Don't put too much confidence in the school board of the boarding school or in the mission itself. Man, everybody out there is flawed, okay? This is really important. Boarding school or no boarding school. And as you are on furlough as a missionary, you be sure that you create a sense of this is our home in America. We've got to travel a bunch of different places, and we love all those people, and we got family spread out. But this is where, when we graduate, we're coming back and going to college in this area here. This will be our home church. You don't let your kid figure that one out on his own. Get ahead of the game. Again, the tumbleweed missionary child who doesn't really know where his home in the States is really being set up for a hard life thereafter. Keep winning your kids. We started with this. We're going to end with this. Keep winning your kid, your children, through life and teaching. Man, your life, one of the things we did out in the middle of the jungle, built a basketball court for my kids, a half court. Man, it was expensive. It took a lot of work. Cement. But so my kids could play basketball out there. And you're going the extra mile, and to keep your kids engaged with this thing. Not that they're the center of the world. They're not. But you're not just, you know, mailing it in as to things that you could do to make their life experience out in New Guinea or wherever more enjoyable. So through your life and through your teaching, you're always teaching. You're not waiting for the right moment. You're getting ahead of it as a dad. As John would say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. And we all know, if you've got kids of any age, and to know that your kids have embraced the gospel, they've embraced the Lord Jesus and all that goes with that, and they have a heart for this task too. Man, we're just so grateful for how God worked in all our kids' heart. We can do ministry and family with excellence. It's not one or the other. It cannot be one or the other. We've got to seek to be able to do both with excellence, and we are expected to do both. As we see in 1 Timothy 3, the greatest maturity of qualifications have to do with how that home is running. Has the father and mother been able to win the kids to this Christian life, okay? And Paul just put such an emphasis on that, because if your Christianity is out of balance in home, the kids aren't going to buy into it. They're not going to. They might not be able to put their finger on it. We need to be balanced in these areas. And so even as we start with hate father, mother, son, daughter, yeah, even your own life, guys, there is a balance in this thing, that we are not abnormal people. But our allegiance, and we're teaching this to our kids as soon as we can, and they can understand, my number one allegiance isn't to your mommy, it's not to you, it's not to my home church, it's to my God. But I love you, and I love my church, and I love... And so to combine those things, it has to be done to be seen as normal, biblically driven moms and dads.